This morning I'm going to be focusing on Genesis chapter 17, but as a New Testament reading, just to introduce that first, I'm going to read some verses from Colossians chapter 2. And the reason I mention that is because in this passage, the Apostle Paul speaks about us being circumcised in Christ, in a circumcision done without hands, and parallels that to the sign and seal of baptism. You'll see that, and I will refer to that later on, but just let's have a look at the verses 6 to 15 in this particular passage. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elementary spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him, in Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled with him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Let's now turn to the Old Testament, one of the best known of all the chapters in the book of Genesis, I suspect. We'll take up the story of Abraham in chapter 17, verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Then Abraham fell on his face. And God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make you many into many nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give you, to you and to your offspring after you, the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring. Both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. And God said to Abraham, as for your wife Sarai, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear you at this time next year. When he had finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. Then Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all those born in his house or bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And that very day, Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised, and all the men of his house, those born of the house and those born bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. Brothers and sisters, a long reading. And our message to follow, I'm going to be focusing in particular upon on the first 12 or so verses of this text. But first, some context. Young people and children too, most of us already know the story of Abraham. He's important, of course, because he is, even today, your and my spiritual father in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, we who are Christians are Abraham's descendants. We are his daughters and sons, his heirs. So Abraham's story, listen well, is our story. Abraham, or Abram, as he was first known, you may remember, was called by God to leave his homeland, his family and kin, and take a journey to a place that where God would show him. And as Abraham set out, he did so with a beautiful promise ringing in his ears. It's the promise of Genesis chapter 12. God said, Abraham, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abraham, at age 75, with his wife Sarah, who the Bible says was barren and could have no children, believed the Lord, and accompanied with his nephew Lot, by his nephew Lot, they set out on the journey. In the years that followed, Abraham, to put it nicely, demonstrated that he was very human. Remember his journey to Egypt, where he fobbed off his wife as his sister and Pharaoh married her. Ups and downs. He also had an up story when in chapter 14 we read, for example, that his nephew Lot, who had chosen that nice little piece of land, was captured by some kings, and Abraham and his little army went out and chased them and won a great victory in the name of the Lord. And that's when he meets this wonderful king called Melchizedek. His story for another day. But then at long last, we arrive at Genesis chapter 15. And finally, after a lot of silence from heaven, again, the voice of the Lord is heard. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. And Abraham looks to the Lord and said, Oh God, my Lord God, what will you give me because I remain childless? You have given me no offspring, and a member of my household shall be my heir. Abraham stopped doubting. Look to the sky. Can you count the stars? So great shall the number of your offspring be. So take out your telescopes, folks. Abraham looked towards heaven and believed the Lord. And in chapter 15, verse 6, it says, And it was counted to him as righteousness. Now you may remember that to prove the point, Genesis chapter 15 describes a most intriguing ceremony. Abraham is told to bring a young heifer, a female calf 3 years old, a female goat, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon, and he slaughters them and cuts them in half. Now, I know this is gruesome. And he lays the halves opposite each other, and then he stands guard for the rest of the day because the vultures or the birds of prey want to have a go at them. And eventually, at sunset, Abraham fell into a trance-like sheep asleep. A dreadful and great darkness covered him. And then in chapter 15 we read, Know for certain that you and your offspring shall indeed be as numbered like the stars or like the sand of the seashore. And then as Abraham is in this deep trance-like sleep, the sun goes down. And then Abraham sees in this darkness the two halves of the animals and what goes in between them, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch. Can you picture it? What does this mean? Well, Genesis 15 describes it very simply. It says, On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. To your offspring I will give this land. By passing between those halved animals, God says, I'm sealing, I'm guaranteeing my covenant. Well, Abraham was very happy to hear that he was going to be a father, but you read in chapter 16 that he couldn't figure out how God was going to do this. So he and Sarah, smart people, have a plan. There's this little girl called Hagar, the Egyptian handmaid. Remember her? She'll do. And so the two of them bless this union with her and Abraham. And Ishmael pops up. The sad story indeed is told in Genesis 16. By now, Abraham, who's trying to give God a helping hand, is 86, so he's pretty well got wrinkles. And then, after 13 long years, Now that's a long time in anyone's dictionary. When Abraham was 99 years old and Sarah was 89, God appears to him again. It's a rather interesting remark in the book of Hebrews, where the writer points out that at that time, Sarah was well and truly past the age of conceiving, and he calls Abraham, quote, as good as dead. So if there's going to be a baby, guys, it's going to be a miracle. And yet God speaks to Abraham yet again. And brothers and sisters, this is a binding passage that really speaks to us today. I am God Almighty. You might have heard I used the Hebrew word El Shaddai. I am the God who is the God of kings and lords. I am God Almighty. Abraham, walk before me and be blameless, that I may make a covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. And we read that Abraham fell on his face. And that's the Eastern way of saying he knew he was before his king. And the Lord continues, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, which means exalted father, although he was fatherless, but Abraham, for I have made you, and the word means a father of a multitude of nations. I'll make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. I will make a covenant. And now look at verse 7. If you have got your Bibles open, stare at it intensely. It says there, I will make my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant. Now here's your homework, folks. Look at that word covenant. The word covenant stands out. It comes in twice. My covenant and everlasting covenant. See, that turns up twice. So it stands out. Now, a covenant, you already know, is a formal agreement, promises between two or more parties that bind them together in the most powerful way possible. A promise is a promise. A handshake is a handshake, but a covenant is the most binding of promises. Breaking it will cut you, will cost you your life. It will cut you off and place a curse upon you, your household, and your children. A covenant is a rock solid promise that is for keeps. Now, the next thing God says, I will make. Now, our English translation is a little bit kind here because literally it says, I will cut. Now, when you think of the word cut, as will come out later, you think of a knife. You think of a knife cutting and drawing blood. Now, this is extremely important here. This is teaching at this point. You see, any covenant ceremony in the Old Testament, and for that matter in the New, always involves blood. Why? Because at bottom, blood is the symbol of life. So when you cut a covenant, it involves the shedding of blood, and the shedding of blood, it says, my life is forfeit. If I keep this covenant, that blood will bring me life. If I break the covenant, that blood will curse me eternally. I will cut my covenant. Do you notice the other little word that I've slipped over so far? The word my. Now, it's important here. The Lord says, I will cut my covenant. In other words, this is God's covenant. He initiates. He determines its context. It is his promise on his terms and for his glory. We don't determine what is in the covenant. The covenant maker, the great king, El Shaddai, makes then determines the contents of that covenant. I make my covenant. I will draw up the terms. And then it says this, for your offspring, you and your offspring throughout their generations. Now, brothers and sisters, the promise of the covenant is for Abraham, you for you, Abraham, and for your household. That includes, as we saw in the rest of chapter 17, Ishmael and his son and those born in his household or bought with his money. It refers specifically to the male members, but guys, that includes the family, the female members as well. I can talk about that another time. But it says one other thing there, you and your offspring throughout your generations. Now, this is where you learn to listen with biblical and, may I add, reformed ears. You see, yes, your offspring includes Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob, and Jacob was the father of 12 sons, and they were called the patriarchs. And all the Jewish people are descended from them. But it doesn't stop there. You know, one of my favorite New Testament passages that links covenant with Abraham is Galatians chapter 3. If you don't know it, underline it. It's Galatians chapter 3, the verses 26 to 29. If you want to open your Bible, go for it. You'd have to be quick though, because I'm reading straight away. For in Christ, you, this talks about the congregation today, all God's people, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's us, folks. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And then look at the next line. This is the one I love. And if you are Christ's, then you are whose offspring? Whose offspring? Messiah. Abraham's. Right back to Genesis 17. See that? You are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Now, brothers and sisters, when the Old Testament uses the word everlasting, it means it. It doesn't mean up until a certain time, then it wouldn't be everlasting. It's everlasting. So the covenant made with Abraham is for you and your offspring, for an everlasting covenant. In other words, it now stretches for a total of almost 4,000 years. And that covenant with the coming of Jesus didn't stop, but indeed deepens and widens. Back to that later. Now, I love that word everlasting. When the NIV used the Ten Commandments, you may remember the second commandment, where it says that God forbids the worship of idols and points out that he's a jealous God punishing the children for the third and fourth generations of those who hate him. And then the NIV puts it this way, but showing love to how many generations? How many? 1,000. Try counting that, guys. That's the Bible way of saying, on and on! And you know, what I think specifically makes Reformed thinking, covenantal thinking, is this idea that the covenant is everlasting by definition. Now let's have a look at this everlasting covenant. What are the contents of that covenant? Well, chapter 17, verse 7 puts it as simply as it possibly can. It says this: to be God to you and your offspring after you. That's the content of the covenant. You can see it again in verse 8 in chapter 17. It says at this time, it puts it in slightly different words, I will be their God. Can you think of anything more wonderful? I will be your God to you and to your offspring after you. I will be your God. This is so amazing about the Bible teaching of the covenant of grace, brothers and sisters. God chooses. God sets the content. God says, I will be your God. I will be the God of you and your offspring after you. Why does he do that? Because we're all such nice people, or because we're all such pious people, or because we're all such God-fearing people. No, 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 no. He does it. What's the word we use here? By grace alone. And that's why when I think covenant, when God says, I will be your covenant, it's a statement of grace, pure, undeserved favor. I will be your God, folks. This is the heart of everything we hope for, because if God says, I will be your God, who can stand against us? If God says, I will be your God, we can sing, it is well with my soul. Now, when you make a promise, you shake hands on it, right? Yeah. But when the Bible makes a covenant promise, it goes a bit further. It does more than shake hands. Have a look at verse 9. And again, notice that word covenant in this passage as well. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant. Notice the obligations there. You shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be, notice that next word, a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old amongst you shall be circumcised. Brothers and sisters, by definition, covenant ceremonies always include a sign. And by definition, covenant ceremonies always include a sign, including blood. Now, I was once accused of teaching too much bloody theology. Well, I'm in good company because the Bible is there. Look at it again. We saw already that make a covenant should be translated cut a covenant. And that's exactly what circumcision involved. To ratify the covenant of grace, to seal the deal between the Lord, Abraham, and his descendants for the generations to come, male children who were 8 days old were circumcised. Now, as you know, or perhaps should know, circumcision involves blood. But did it strike you how much blood was involved in the circumcision in Genesis 15, rather, when the two animals were cut in half? That was a ceremony involving a lot of blood. Do you remember when the Israelites were about to be visited by the Lord with the 10th plague, the loss of their firstborn sons? What happened? A lamb? His blood was shed and painted on the doorposts. Do you remember that most important ceremony described in Exodus chapter 24. When the book of the covenant is read and ratified by the Jews in the wilderness, they had a lot of sacrificial animals. Hey, what happened? Moses takes two basins of blood and he pours one basin over the altar. And the other basin, he takes it and sprinkles it over the people. Why? Because blood seals life. To seal a covenant involves nothing less than the payment of your life. It costs you your life to enter the covenant. Now, brothers and sisters, we are New Testament people, right? How do we enter the new covenant? Through the, hear it? Blood of Christ. And this is exactly what Colossians 2 was holding on to. It said there in verse 2 of chapter 6, verse 6 of chapter 2 in Colossians, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up with him. And then look at verse 10. And you have been filled with him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him you were circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by a circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, see now the link, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. Can I say it this way? I hope I'm not confusing you. Can you understand where I'm going? Folks, in the Old Testament, it took blood to enter into the covenant. In the New Testament, it again takes blood to enter into the covenant. Can you see the connection? What does Jesus do when he celebrates the Lord's Supper? He takes the cup of blessing and says, this is my blood of the new covenant, drink from it. See it? So what's the link? Brothers and sisters, the circumcision of the flesh for Abraham is the type or the forerunner of the new circumcision that we have, and Christ died for us on the cross. And the sign of the in the Old Testament, of course, is now replaced by a new sign called baptism. That's what you get out of Colossians chapter 2. So, when you are baptized, for you, it's the promise of Christ's blood that washes you, that gives you new life, that fills you and makes you heirs of promise. Now, question might well be, what about children? I'd like to speak about that in a very special way later on, but I want to say this, that just as in the old covenant of grace, it was made to Abraham and his children, so too, according to Acts chapter 2, the promise is made to us and to our children, to all that are far off, to as many as the Lord our God will call. It is for this reason that, as our form for baptism puts it, the children of the faithful are in the new covenant no less than they were in the old. They have the right to the seal of the covenant and to the outward privileges of the church. Now, I have promised that I want to have a sermon. Some of you have been asking for this specifically on infant baptism. I'll do that. But for now, can you see where after I delay the foundation? Isn't it beautiful? So when you see Genesis 17, link it to Galatians 3 and also to Colossians 2. And then realize that the covenant of grace is indeed everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Lord in heaven, we've heard a lot and we're listening for a long time. Give us grace to hear. Give us strength to indeed embrace the power of the promises. And Father, we thank you that Jesus himself is the seal of the new covenant, a covenant that indeed incorporates and it goes for everlasting. Bless us and be with us for the rest of this day and keep us close to your heart. This we ask in Jesus' name.